From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
For some reason, he always goes after Mika.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always personal with Mika.
That was MSNBC's Joe Scarborough talking about a recent spat with President Trump between himself and his co-host, Mika Brzezinski. Brzezinski was attacked by Trump in a tweet which referenced an alleged bleeding facelift.
You know, big picture, my father just passed away. My mother had two heart attacks. My daughter just lost a friend. Those are the things I'm really worried about.
Brzezinski is the daughter of the former national security advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who, among other things, helped start the war in Afghanistan.
The president's tweets, whether they're personally aimed at me or aimed at me in some way, that doesn't bother me one bit. It does worry me about the country.
So who is more embarrassing for America? Donald Trump with his orange hair and his maniacal tweets? Or folks like Mika Brzezinski, the daughter of an apparent war criminal, who herself operates in service to imperialism as a propagandist on corporate media? BlackAgendaReport.com columnist Margaret Kimberly takes a look at that in her column this week under the banner Freedom Rider, entitled America's Embarrassment. So, America is suddenly embarrassed.
Yes, and about the stupidest things ever. President Trump has gotten into this ridiculous food fight with TV personalities, to be specific, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, who, as I recall, ran down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss his ring as soon as he got elected. But at any rate, they got into an argument about the National Enquirer, of all things, which was going to print something negative about him. And he claims they went to him to ask him to go to the Enquirer and not write about them. In any case, the president sends this stupid tweet calling them crazy and saying she was bleeding from a facelift, and it just went downhill from there.
It's a food fight.
And
it is
embarrassing. But if that were the only embarrassing thing about the United States, I guess it would be worth paying attention to. We live in a country which is last in everything good and first in everything bad. We lead in military spending and putting people in jail, and we have now been officially declared a second-tier nation as far as the care of the population is concerned. We have huge disparities in wealth, low-wage work for those who work at all, presidents who have done far worse than behave foolishly on social media, who have started wars, who've killed millions of people, who Bill Clinton betrayed his supporters and ended the right to public assistance. Obama has... I think there were two wars when he became president, but made war on seven different nations by the time he left office, destroyed the nation of Libya. I could go police murder. We have a country where every day three people on average are killed by the police. And I could go on and on and on. So those are the things that are truly embarrassing about this country. But it's easy to talk about Donald Trump when he shows an old wrestling video, which, you know, superimposes the words, the letter CNN, because he's, you know, this thin-skinned man who has to criticize CNN. But if you can criticize him for that, but this whole notion that he is the embarrassment, that everything was fine until January 20th of this year. There was nothing to be embarrassed about except Donald Trump behaving foolishly. And that is, I think, something that is creating a lot of confusion and a lot of distraction for people who should be paying attention to things that are far more serious.
Yeah, and a lot closer attention. Let's start with, you know, the food fight ease, okay? We've got Mika Brzezinski, the daughter of Zbigniew Brzezinski, okay? For folks who don't yet know the name, the book, The Grand Chessboard, American Primacy And it's geo, what is it then? It's Geostrategic Imperatives, written in 1997. This is the guy that Jimmy Carter, who everyone now, the amnesiacs in our political culture, you know, think of as some great peacemaker or something. This was his national security advisor. You can go to YouTube and see a video of him essentially founding Al-Qaeda and ISIS in Afghanistan, lighting a match in 1977 that's still burning with millions and millions of dead people. And, you know, cracking on her over a facelift is something that, of course, is, you know, to be really focused on and not, who is Brzezinski? Because she's in the family business. She's a propagandist for the same war machine that he was a strategist for.
Yes, and she made a comment. It's been going around viral, dare I use the word, where she criticizes Trump for trying to control what people think, and then she ends her comments by saying, but that's our job. So, and she only has the job. She's, you know, just the latest case we can see the decline of this country with the increase in nepotism, where there are people who have positions in corporate media because of who their parents are. Bush's daughters and Clinton daughter and, you know, Brzezinski's daughter.
Right? Scarborough, yes. Too, right? Chuck Scarborough is his pop, wasn't he?
I don't know if they're related. He's a former congressman, but before anybody jumps to his defense, he resigned his seat. He represented the Florida Panhandle, known as the Redneck Riviera, but he resigned his congressional seat the day, announced he wasn't going to run again, the day after a young woman was found dead in his office, an employee under mysterious circumstances. But the thing I remember most is they went to a New Year's Eve party at Mar-a-Lago at Trump's estate in Florida. And I just call it kissing his ring. And they, and anybody who criticized them, they took great umbrage when their journalistic ethics were questioned about why they were with him. And they claimed they were there to plan to do a story. And, you know, they were hanging out with the new president. That's all it was. So these are not people, if we're going to be outraged about comments Trump makes about the media, it should not be to protect those two. And that's another thing to be embarrassed about, and that's the cozy relationship that presidents have with corporate media. I didn't have a problem with Trump skipping this annual White House correspondence dinner, where people who are supposed to be objective, who are supposed to be disinterested parties, brag about their access they have to politicians. And, you know, when Obama was president, I remember John Stewart, who was held up as this liberal icon, he was taking orders from the Obama administration. He would go to the White House and meet with Obama. Someone else exposed it. He never talked about it. And he's another one who got defensive when other people mentioned it. So there's so much to be embarrassed about. It's like, where to begin? Take a number, you know. So there's a lot for Americans to be concerned about, and there are many things that should make us cringe about our country. And the president saying that Mika Brzezinski was bleeding from a facelift is not one of them. And I'm not supporting the use of words like that. I don't think anybody should be spoken to that way. But this is not the reason for outrage. And there are other better reasons to be outraged with Donald Trump.
And among the embarrassments and the embarrassed, I am embarrassed because Joe Scarborough is not Chuck Scarborough's son. But that's okay. There's plenty more to be embarrassed about as far as he's concerned. You've got, I don't know how many people remember the Daily Kos. I think that's no longer a thing, right? But for a while, that was like one of the Democratic Party, quote, liberal, unquote, blog centers. Marcos, who was the Kos and Daily Kos, and Scarborough were bestest buddies, and he used to be on MSNBC all the time, plugging the Daily Kos, one of the reasons he may not know it anymore. But they had a falling out over this incident with the woman that died in the office, you know, after hitting her head in Scarborough's office. And they had a public falling out, and MSNBC decided to stop inviting him. So, So you weren't seeing him because he had something of some, you know, weight to offer to a conversation, and you're not seeing him because they decided he doesn't have any weight. It's because it's who you know. He was pals with Scarborough, and then they had a little spat, and now he's not on TV anymore. And your information base, for you, those of you listening to MSNBC for The Word, your information base essentially gets configured on things like that. Who's pal this week?
Right. Well, you know, and they take people off the air. Years ago, Phil Donahue had a show on MSNBC. He had the highest rated show at the time on MSNBC. But when he opposed the war on Iraq, they took him off the air. Dylan Radigan said something, had some criticism of Barack Obama. They took him off the air. So these are the people who ought to be defended. And the fact that our media, the fact that we have a corporate media at all, the fact that we depend on the profit motive to get the bulk of our news is a very frightening thing. And people who deviate from the standard line, you know, and there are lines, and if you cross them, they get rid of you. So that Seymour Hersh, his latest expose about Syria and about this chemical weapons attack and his reporting which showed that there was no deliberate chemical weapons attack. There was a bomb that fell on a storage depot held, by the way, by the moderates, so-called moderate rebels in Syria, not by the Syrian government. But Seymour Hersh is now forced to publish in a German paper. He was with the New York Times. They pushed him out. Then it was the New Yorker. They pushed him out. Then he's the London Review of Books. They wouldn't print this. So now he's in a German publication, and it's good reading. See the translation online. But that's the state of our media today. If you expose the wrongdoing at the top, they find ways to silence you. And we should remember this when it's easy to, you know, snicker at the president, you know, showing images of himself in a, you know, wrestling with WWF or WWE or whatever the letters are. So this is where we are now, where the important things are pushed aside, swept under the rug, and the trivialities are elevated for comment. And there's a lot of comment about things that don't really matter very much. But this is how the media always work. They help people, they help presidents cover up their wrongdoing. So, you know, Obama had this amazing marketing apparatus, and he had everything right. The right looks, the right tone, the nice family, all of this stuff was used to sanitize things he did that were terrible, that were criminal. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that is the way the media, that is the way they work. So people have to be very careful before casting judgments based solely on what the media tell us we should be concerned about.
You know, there's so much in this, too. First of all, you know, the phenomenon you're describing here, the media focuses on the big ugly, you know, whatever there is. It's like, wow, point the camera at that. And everybody goes, ew, it's the big ugly or whatever.
You're right.
And especially if you're trying to keep the camera off of mass incarceration or, you know, murder abroad, by a bomber squadron or whatever. And instead, you're looking at somebody, you know, wrestling with CNN's logo now. But people in other countries, you know, Trump, that wasn't live last week, that recording. That was recorded for a mass audience, you know, a decade or two or however long ago. I don't know when that particular Trump meets the WWF episode was taped, but it was done on television in front of a mass audience because that was America before Trump was president. He was only a small part of it. That was Channel 4 here in New York on NBC. But we are already the clown that they claim Trump is portraying to the world now in front of most of the world for a very long time. So, you know, that's what's ironic. That's an old clip. It had a big audience. People pointed to it and say, look at those Americans, man, they're out of their minds. And yet this is suddenly now embarrassing because, you know, because he's president. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it is, you know, we have this celebrity president, which, and ironically, I think he won because he was a celebrity. Somebody once said to me, when voters have a choice between a politician and a celebrity, they'll always choose the celebrity. Mm-hmm. And had I remembered that, I wouldn't have been surprised when he won. Mm-hmm. But yes, there, you know, there's so many, and I don't know why people are image conscious about the wrong things, squirming about Trump's behavior as if that's the worst thing that America has to offer the world.
Right.
So we have this, you know, everyone clutching at their pearls over stupid things. And the New York Times recently published this list of all of Trump's lies. And someone pointed, a couple of weeks ago, I moderated a panel discussion, and Mark Crispin Miller was on it. He pointed out something important. He said, you know, Trump lies about things that are mostly trivial. And but Obama would lie about things that were very important. Mm. I think that's something else to remember. Presidents, he's not the first president to lie.
Yeah.
But their lies are generally big. They're used generally about things that are, you know, may not risk our image abroad, but may risk world peace and risk our economic well-being. Those are the things that presidents lie about.
And newspapers, so, too, by the way. I mean, let's look at
and
the
they help
sorts
them
here.
Lie. And if it's a president they like, they will help them lie. Yeah. They help Bush lie about Iraq, about the so-called existence of weapons of mass destruction. The New York Times and The Washington Post were right with him when Obama wanted to make war against all the countries, against Libya, against Syria. They're still carrying Obama's water. Yep. He's not even president anymore.
Yep.
They're on the side of neoliberalism. They're on the side of imperialism. And anybody who deviates from that is scorned if they're mentioned at all. So they uphold this barbaric behavior that results in thousands, if not millions, of people dead, but then they will turn a spotlight on something that's just plain stupid. And so if you want to criticize Trump, the thing to criticize him for is a couple of weeks ago, it was very strange. There was a press release from Sean Spicer, his incompetent press secretary, saying that it was about Syria and chemical weapons, and the United States would respond to any chemical weapons attack from the Syrian government.
Right.
Now, this came from the press office,
right,
not the Secretary of State, not from any of the channels where these things are discussed in private. It isn't. And then it seemed clear that the Secretary of State and other people who should make foreign policy pronouncements were surprised and didn't know this was going to happen. Trump started out a few months ago saying that regime change was not going to be their policy in Syria. And then there was this false flag the chemical attack did occur, but there's no proof that the Syrian, in fact, there's proof that the Syrian government was not responsible for it. And but he launched this missile attack on Syria. So if you're going to criticize Trump, and if you're going to talk about something Trump did that was an embarrassment, you should talk about that and not about his, impulsive behaviors and, using Twitter to vent his spleen against people he's mad at. That's actually the least important thing to be upset about with Donald Trump.
Mm. Yeah, you mentioned Phil Donahue and his departure from MSNBC. And it's just so folks know, Donahue was hired by MSNBC in July of 2002. And they were desperate to get that thing going. It was really kind of, the audience was minuscule, and it was becoming a drain on their revenue. So they brought him in, and they ended up firing him on the 25th of February 2003, which is about just shy of a month before the actual invasion of Iraq. And what's interesting is that's, I think, 10 days after that February 15th massive outpouring of opposition across the country, some of which There was no voice at all given to an anti-war perspective on television across the board, with the exception of an occasional expression of this on Donahue's show. That was it. And so after, I guess they thought, Jesus, it's really contagious. Just having Donahue talk about it, we had millions of people in the streets. We better get him off the air. And within 10 days, he was gone, and they didn't care if they set their network, you know, ablaze by doing that. He was the only draw they had. And it was very quietly done. They didn't even take advantage of a controversy to draw audience. And so one thing that I've noticed, though, and this is what's the germane part, is they've never positioned Donahue's, political orientation and or the anti-war position that was being expressed at that time as being of the left. You notice that? They don't.
Yes.
They don't say they're leftists because the Democrats are supposedly the leftists, and of course they are the party of war.
Yeah, they lean forward or some craziness like that. Yeah, well, you know, and MSNBC wasn't alone. I remember there one of those huge protests was in Washington, D.C. Mm. And the New York Times, they sent a reporter who got there early and said, oh, nobody's here, and wrote that the protest was a failure. Right. And when in fact, there were hundreds of thousands of people there. So they just disappeared this event and the existence of opposition to war. So MSNBC has this reputation for being liberal. Actually, now there's a Republican in office. Now they're putting conservatives on the air. But they are the pro-Democratic party network, or at least they were when Obama was there. And it's very interesting how Americans treat their political viewpoint. If Fox's ratings are down, so if there's a Democratic president and conservatives don't like him, they watch Fox News to feel better. MSNBC's right. ratings were down while Obama was president. So then Trump wins and liberals feel like they soothe themselves by
Rachel Maddow
watching Rachel Maddow talk about Russia night after night after night. So but it just shows you how the bad state of the weak state of a true left movement, that people will watch people on television personalities who aren't even leftists actually, and think that watching TV is some sort of act of resistance, some kind of act of opposition. And when it's just watching TV, and it's watching some of the worst people, because MSNBC promotes war constantly, and they promote the most conservative wing of the Democratic Party. So this is, you know, we have to be careful in dealing with our media, and they are corporate media. NBC was a subsidiary of General Electric, which was a defense contractor, and now I believe it's a subsidiary of, is it Comcast? I don't know. I shouldn't say, but it's always it doesn't stand alone anymore. It's been a long time since the TV networks were standalone corporations. They're now subsidiary of larger interests. And then this is a very dangerous thing. This is still where more people get their news. And it's the least reliable source of all. The most reliable sources are online, like Black Agenda Report. But those, we can't reach a mass audience. And now with this net neutrality being at risk, we may all be at risk again of having an audience and having our small audience diminished even further. So those are the things that people ought to be concerned about when we talk about the media and not Donald Trump's crazy tweets.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a steady progression of the consolidation of power in the media. Back from the days when, let's say, every major city had at least one independently owned TV station, there was control by, you know, major corporations and other advertising buyers, because we could buy ads on each of those independent stations and we had some leverage. But now, the corporation that was the advertiser before owns all those TV stations.
And so, and Bill Clinton's the one who changed that.
That's right.
Was at one time there was a rule against it. You couldn't own a TV station and a newspaper in the same city. And it's Bill Clinton, the Democrat, who got rid of that.
And Al Gore. Al Gore had a big hand in the Telecommunications Act in 96, and did, as did Hillary. They both pimped that all through the Congress.
Sure they did. And so now, so you can thank them for Fox News. You can thank the Democrats for bringing us Fox News that allows the Fox Corporation to own the New York Post and a TV station and Fox News all in one place. It's the Democrats who brought us that.
And then, you know, finally, you come to this point, which I think is the point of it, that, you know, to condemn Trump for the right reasons, and that is, you know, bizarre, erratic behavior, but policy, you know,
yes.
Looking at Syria, looking at the various things, the travel bans, the, you know, the saber rattling towards North Korea, all of these things where normally we would be lining up. Instead of lining up against his hair or wrestling with CNN's logo or bleeding facelifts or whatever, we should be wrestling with policy. And the problem with that, of course, is that the policies that are being expressed by Trump are really not that much different, and in some cases not as severe as those being espoused by Schumer and others, the Democrats in Congress.
Well, when it comes to neoliberalism and empire, yes, they're all on the same page. But, you know, Trump, here's a reason to be angry with Donald Trump. This voter suppression, he has right. attempted to get states to turn over voter records, Social Security numbers. And most states, thankfully, have either refused outright or said they won't give all that information. And this is an effort to get Democrats, mostly black people, off the rolls. But this has gotten a lot less attention than Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. And the Democratic Party, their response to this has been just lame. I mean, it's been horrible. The Republicans can find a plaintiff for anything and everything. Democratic Party should have been filing lawsuits in all 50 states, but instead they just say, well, this is an outrage, this is terrible, and do nothing to protect their voters. So that's something that has gotten a lot less attention. The very integrity of, we go on and on about our democracy and the integrity of our democracy, and we have a president flouting that outrageously and making it clear that he wants people off, that this has been a Republican tactic. It worked against Al Gore. It worked against Hillary Clinton. Democrats have actually lost presidential elections because of voter suppression, and they don't speak up about it. So I'm not sure why they have time to talk about Joe Scarborough when they don't even defend their own voters. But that just tells you the Democrats want to be part of the permanent government. More than anything else. And they will even sustain a loss and not say anything about it in order not to upset the system, because their goal is to maintain the system the way it is. And if they spoke up about these things, they would have to be on the side of some radical change. And that is the last thing they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at that just with this voter suppression issue, because you mentioned correctly the 2000 election, which was stolen, and they refused to do anything about that. You know, Al Gore's conduct of the January 6th certification of the Electoral College vote as the chair of that, as the president of the Senate. Oh, my goodness. He suppressed it himself there and
yeah.
any discussion of it. And in 2004, of course, you had Kerry, who had promised he had 95 lawyers and all that. Green Party people begging them to come into Ohio, and
yes.
an absolute outright refusal. So,
yeah, absolutely. They allowed there are millions of people denied their right to vote. People, if you use an affidavit ballot, your vote doesn't count. And this is how they've stolen election after election. But you would never know it listening to the Democratic Party, because they will take a dive every time. And this is why I can't get upset about Joe and Mika and Donald.
Margaret Kimberly has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com under the banner Freedom Rider. We've been discussing her column this week, America's Embarrassment. Margaret, thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.